You'll turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, as we continue our short series looking at the Lord's Prayer. Now, we began our series on the Lord's Prayer last week as we looked at what's called the preface and the first petition of the prayer. Now, our Father who art in heaven. That's the preface, that's the beginning or the introduction to the prayer. And we begin our praying by having a Godward focus. We come to God as Father. And there's a Father who is exalted, who's high and raised up. We are adopted as children, and He is approachable as a Father. And He is the Father in heaven. He is ascended, but yet also accessible through what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. We can come before a God who delights to hear us pray. We come before one who has called us into His family as His children. And we can enter the very throne room of heaven. In our praying, that's what we're doing. And in our praying, that's the focus we are to have. Our Father who art in heaven. This Godward focus continues into the first petition, or the first thing that we ask for in prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Our priority in prayer is the honor and the glory of God. Our prayers are to be full of adoration and worship. And we are to pray that God's holiness would be displayed in our own lives, in our church, in our nation. Hallowed be your name. As I said last week, my desire through this short summer series is that our prayers will be deepened and enriched and invigorated as we consider the pattern of prayer that Jesus laid down for His disciples. And it will be good for us to grasp and understand that in prayer we are coming to God as Father through Jesus Christ, God the Son. And it's important for us to understand that our prayers are not to be like a shopping list where we just rhyme off the various things that we would like and desire. That's not the purpose for prayer. At times, we will be rhyming off things that we desire and want according to God's promises. But our prayers, as we see at the beginning of this Lord's Prayer, the pattern for prayer, is our prayers should be full of worship and adoration. The pattern that Jesus gives us for praying. We come this morning to the second petition, the second thing that we ask for in the Lord's Prayer. And it's here in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6. Your kingdom come, or thy kingdom come, as most of us have been taught. In the shorter catechism, we have a good explanation of what this petition is asking for. And this is what the shorter catechism says. In the second petition, which is thy kingdom come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed, that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. Here we have two kingdoms in view, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And throughout Scripture, this is made clear to us that in the whole world, in the whole of creation since the fall, there are only two kingdoms. All of humanity can be divided into two groups. There's the seed of the serpent, those who belong to Satan and his kingdom. And then there is the seed of the woman, those who through God's grace belong to Jesus Christ. And only one of those kingdoms will be victorious. Only one of those kingdoms will be brought to its fullness of glory. And that is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I should say at this point that Jesus Christ is on the throne, that he alone is king. And so in one sense we could say, well, there really is only one kingdom, because there is only one who is full of authority and power. There is only one who is king and lord. There is only one who is supreme. But in this present age, we also see that there are those who seek to usurp that authority and power. In this present age, we also see that there is a battle going on. That there is one, the devil, Satan, who tries to usurp Christ. And that's what our sinful nature also does. For all who belong to the kingdom of Satan, they're trying to usurp the authority of Jesus Christ. But we have to realize that although Satan's kingdom is battling, it is a defeated kingdom. There is only one true king, one who is supreme in church and state, one who has all power and authority. There is only one before whom every knee will bow and confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so we pray, thy kingdom come. And we are to include that in our prayers. We are to have a kingdom focus in our praying. Here is how we can enrich and deepen our praying. Not only understanding that we're coming before God as a Father who loves us and has brought us into his family. Not only understanding that our prayers reach the very throne room of heaven. Not only with a focus that God's name will be glorified and honored, but we come with the understanding that there is a king on the throne, and that his kingdom is supreme, and his kingdom will remain, and his kingdom will be for all eternity. And we are to pray that that kingdom will come. Well, let's consider this petition this morning, and I want to do so under three headings. Three headings that come from the answer that we received in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And so our first heading is, here we are praying that Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. We're praying that Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. Now this seems fairly straightforward. Who wouldn't want to pray that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed? We're clearly talking about that spiritual warfare that's raging. We know that Satan is active. He prowls around like a roaring lion, waiting for someone to devour. The world maybe doesn't recognize him. The world maybe doesn't recognize his tactics. But we, as Christians, are all too clear and all too aware that we are in a spiritual battle. And we face the attacks of the accuser, of the father of lies. They're all too real to us. So of course we can pray that Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. That seems fairly straightforward and simple. But before we rush on to think about the kingdom of grace, let's just think what we are praying for here in Satan's kingdom being destroyed. We are praying for judgment and justice. Here are two words that we can hang this thought on. As we pray for Satan's kingdom to be destroyed, we are praying for judgment and we are praying for justice. We're praying for judgment. We were part of Satan's kingdom. If you're a Christian, there was a time when God's righteous anger was on you because you were a sinner. You sinned because you were a sinner. You had a sinful nature. You were chained in your sin. We weren't part of God's kingdom. We were aligned with Satan, whether we realized it or not. We were part of that kingdom of darkness. And now as we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are praying that that kingdom that we were a part of will be destroyed. That God's judgment will come on that kingdom and all who belong to that kingdom. But that means that there are still people that we love and care for who are still in the kingdom of darkness. There are still those who are in the chains of their sin. There are still those who are outside of Jesus Christ. Those who aren't citizens of Christ's kingdom. We should remind ourselves there is no neutral ground. There are only two kingdoms. We are either in Christ's kingdom by God's grace, or we belong to the kingdom of Satan. And here we are praying that Satan and his kingdom will come under the judgment of God. And that judgment isn't an annihilation. It's not that they will be wiped out, but it's the judgment of God's eternal wrath and anger on sin. It's the judgment of hell. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are praying that God will bring the judgment of hell on those who do not bow the knee to King Jesus. That's a terrifying prayer. And if it wasn't for who God is, we could never pray this. Do you realize what we pray for as we pray that his kingdom will come? We've already sung from Psalm 94, "Lord, you are the God of vengeance. God of vengeance, O shine through. Rise up, O you judge of earth, and pay back to the proud their due." We are praying for judgment. If you're not a Christian this morning, that should cause you to tremble more than anything else. That you do not belong to the kingdom of Christ, but that you are still chained in the kingdom of Satan. And every time you hear those words, "Thy kingdom come," it's a prayer for judgment. And you will come under that judgment if you do not come into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But we're, of course, praying for judgment because God is just. God delights to show justice. We're not praying this because God is vindictive. We're not praying this because God is cruel. That is wrong thinking if that's in our minds. God isn't cruel or vindictive. Nothing could be further from the truth. No, God is just. And we have to understand God's holiness. We have to understand that because God is so pure and holy and righteous, he can't tolerate sin. We are guilty. We deserve the judgment because God is just. And so we are praying that God will act according to his nature, his good perfections, and that God will show justice because God is perfectly just. And so although it's a prayer that causes us to tremble, we do so because God is so holy and so pure and so perfect. He can't tolerate sin. And perhaps we don't want to think about the judgment of God too much, because maybe we are too inclined to sin ourselves. We're too stained. But if we had a greater understanding of who God is in His holiness, we would be praying this more and more. Yes, trembling as we pray it. Your kingdom come. That Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. That God will bring His judgment. Because we know He is a God of justice. We pray for God to show His judgment because we are praying that God will act according to His perfect, good, and wonderful justice. Thy kingdom come is a prayer that Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. But then secondly, it's a prayer that the kingdom of grace may be advanced. It's a prayer that the kingdom of grace may be advanced. We praise God that He is perfectly just, but we also praise God that He is perfectly gracious. We can pray, Thy kingdom come, not just with trembling, but we can also pray with hope. Hope because God is also loving. And God is forgiving, and God is gracious and merciful. We can pray this prayer with hope because God calls men, women, and boys and girls to Himself, because He calls them into His family, and He is their Father. Out of God's unmerited love towards us, He delights to show forgiveness. He delights to set free from this kingdom of darkness and to deliver us into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, keep in mind not only judgment and justice, but also that God justifies. God justifies. Here's a word that we can hook this thought onto, the kingdom of grace coming in. God delights to make us right in His sight, to set us in His sight as forgiven, as clothed in righteousness. He justifies. We're asking that the kingdom of grace will be sweeping through the nation, that it will be advancing. If we were left to ourselves, we would still be in Satan's kingdom. We would still be bound and chained. We would still be under the danger of eternal judgment. But there's good news with the kingdom. And that good news is that Jesus Christ, who is the King Himself, left the beauties and the glories of heaven. And He stepped down to earth. And He went to the cross. And there He took the judgment from the perfectly just Father in heaven. And He took it willingly. He was punished in our place. And God delights to show us forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Here we are praying that the kingdom of grace, this kingdom of God's immeasurable, steadfast, covenant love would come with force, would come with spirit-changing power into people's lives. Our prayer is that God will make many right before Him, that He will justify many before Him through Christ. The primary means that God has given for this kingdom of grace advancing is, of course, the preaching of the good news. That declaring of the good news. And so, as we pray, Thy kingdom come, we are praying that the good news will be proclaimed, that this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ will be declared. We're praying that people will hear it, and that God will unblock their ears and open up their blind eyes, and that God by His Spirit will change their hearts, and that God will work graciously and mercifully as Jesus Christ is proclaimed. Thy kingdom come. Lord, justify many in Your sight. Lord, may Your word go forth unhindered. May the gospel be advancing. Friends, this is something that we can pray every Saturday night at home before we come to church the next day. Lord, may Your kingdom come. May Your truth be proclaimed. May it be declared. May You change people's lives as they hear of Jesus Christ. This is something that we pray for in our prayer meetings before church, before our worship services. You can come to those prayer meetings and you can pray that. Thy kingdom come. Lord, may Your word be proclaimed. Might it be effectual. Might You be working by Your Spirit. Might the kingdom of grace be advancing. This is something you can pray for in your own lives, for your own witness amongst family members, friends and work colleagues. Lord, may Your kingdom come. May Your kingdom of grace come to my parents. Might it come to my children. Might it come to my next door neighbor. Might it come to this work colleague. Lord, Your kingdom come. Isn't this something we should want to pray for more and more? Isn't this something that we have seen within our own congregation as we've prayed that, as we have prayed for people who perhaps for years sat in church showing no signs of saving grace, and yet God wonderfully answered the prayer. And His kingdom has come to their very hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. Pray for your loved ones. Don't stop praying for them. We know the danger that they are in when we pray, Thy kingdom come. We know that we are praying for God to end Satan's kingdom. We are praying for God to act in judgment. So pray also for that kingdom of grace to be sweeping through. We know that outside of the kingdom of grace, outside of Jesus Christ, there is only judgment. Pray for that. If you're not a Christian, I am sure that there is at least one person praying this for you. And in many cases, even here this morning, there are people who have been praying for you, if you're not a Christian, that you will come to know the kingdom of grace, that you will know Jesus Christ as the King who gave His life, who died on the cross taking the judgment that we deserve. Come to Him. Bow the knee to Him. Confess to God your sins. Seek His forgiveness, that you too may be included in the kingdom of grace. Pray that all nations, all tribes, all languages, all people's groups, pray that the kingdom of grace will come to them. Now that will come with opposition. The kingdom of Satan will be seeking to rebel and stand and kick against it. But the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against Christ and His kingdom. Pray for the kingdom of grace. Pray that people will be justified in God's sight. Thy kingdom come. We pray for the destruction of Satan's kingdom. We pray for judgment. We pray that God will show His justice. We pray that the kingdom of grace will advance. We pray that God will justify many. And that will be through the proclamation of his word. We pray for the upholding of his word. And then thirdly and lastly, we pray that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. We pray that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. Wonderfully and gloriously, the kingdom of grace is advancing. When Jesus was on earth, he cast out demons, he healed the sick, he preached and proclaimed the kingdom. Jesus even said, "The kingdom of God is among you." In Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God has arrived. And on the cross, Jesus Christ not only defeated sin and death, but it was a defeat for Satan. He crushed the head of the serpent. And Satan's kingdom has been defeated. The strong man is bound. Christ's kingdom has come. And all over the earth this day, before we got up this morning, there were people belonging to the kingdom of Jesus Christ who were rising up and meeting together and worshiping and praising. The kingdom has arrived. And throughout our land, throughout our nation, there are those belonging to the kingdom who meet together, who are worshiping and praising the King. The kingdom is here. And when we go to bed tonight, there will be those way out in the west who will be getting up, and they too will be gathering together to worship and praise. The kingdom of God is there. So the kingdom is here. The kingdom of grace is advancing. But we also know that isn't the end of the matter. Because although there is an already aspect to the kingdom, that it is here, there is also a not yet. There is something more to come. And so we are living in anticipation of what's still to come. There's going to be a full, a final, and a glorious triumph of Jesus Christ. There's going to be the establishment of the new heavens and the new earth. And so when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are also praying for Jesus' return, and we are praying for jubilation. Here are two more words to hang this thought on. Jesus' return. Well, I know that's two words, but take it as one. We're praying for Jesus' return, and we are praying for jubilation. Jesus' return. How often do we pray for this? I have to admit that I don't pray for Christ's return as explicitly or as often as I should. We believe it. We look forward to it. But do we pray for it? Perhaps because it is a fixed point in the future, a time and a day and an hour that will not change. We can't change it. Perhaps that's maybe why we don't pray for it as we should. But yet the Bible also says that we can hasten it by our prayers. We are told to hasten the coming of the day of God in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. But how can we hasten a day that is fixed? Well, here, Jesus says you do it in your prayer. Pray, "Thy kingdom come." Pray that Jesus Christ will return. We are to do what the book of Revelation says at the very end of the book in Revelation 21. "Come, Lord Jesus." Jesus says, "Surely I am coming soon." And we are to say amen to that. Come, Lord Jesus. It's a fixed time, but God says, "I will answer your prayers." As you pray for Christ to return, as you pray for the King himself to return to earth with his glorious train, as you pray for the establishment of the new heavens and the new earth, God says he will answer those prayers. Pray for Jesus to return. And we're to pray for jubilation. As we pray that the kingdom of glory may be hastened, pray for jubilation. That is our eternal dwelling place. Thomas Watson, the Puritan who's written the commentary in the Shorter Catechism, I mentioned him last week. He says on this part of the Lord's Prayer, "In the kingdom of heaven there shall be incomprehensible joy. When the saints' union with Christ is perfected in heaven, their joy shall be full." We are to pray for the place where our joy will be full. Pray that God will bring in the new heavens and the new earth. Pray with anticipation for heaven. Pray for that place where we will be set free from our struggles with sin, where we will be set free from our sorrow. Pray for that place where we will be free from our weakness of the body. Pray for it. Your kingdom come. Lord, I'm looking forward to being with Christ. Looking forward to seeing him. Looking forward to being with all the redeemed of his people, worshiping before your throne. I'm looking forward to that jubilation, to that joy inexpressible. Pray for the coming of his kingdom in its fullness, that we might be with him forever. And so we pray, not just with trembling as we pray for God's judgment, not just with hope as we pray for grace advancing, but we can pray with certainty. Thy kingdom will come. Jesus Christ will return. We pray with confidence that this is an optimistic prayer. Not wishful thinking, but optimism with certainty. An absolute, assured answer. His kingdom will come. Pray, thy kingdom come. I hope that as we pray, as we give ourselves to praying at home, as we meet together for prayer, that this will start to form one of the priorities in our prayer life, the kingdom, and praying that his kingdom will indeed come. Amen.